Good morning. In our gospel this Sunday, we see our Lord teaching us about the importance of prayer, about the point of prayer, and the importance of persevering in prayer. And the point of prayer is not simply to get things. The point of prayer is to get to know someone. There's a story of Pope St. John Paul II from a firsthand witness that he was often observed, St. John Paul II, as he was praying, that he would lie on the floor, prostrate, with this deep, intimate prayer that he could be heard groaning. And, you know, we might think, well, you know, I've never seen anything like that. Most of us, I don't think, pray like that. But this kind of prayer that Pope St. John Paul II was showing, maybe not unlike how our Lord was praying when he would go to his Father. You know, if we saw like St. John Paul II or anyone praying like that, we'd think, this person is talking to someone. This person knows this one like to whom they're talking. That's maybe somewhere I've not been. And I imagine we find it very attractive. You know, different, certainly, but attractive. Well, the disciples of Jesus had the same kind of experience. You know, they'd been with Jesus. They lived with him. They ate with him. They walked with him. They saw the miracles, the healings, countless just everyday interactions, most of which aren't even recorded in the Gospels. But there is one that is included in our Gospel that we just heard, where Luke tells us that Jesus was praying, as he often did, and the disciples must have been observing him, and I'm sure this wasn't the first time. But this time, at least, they ask, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. There was something there in what they observed in our Lord as he was praying that was so attractive that they wanted that. And so in response, our Lord gives them more than a set of words or formula or technique. He gives them an example and an invitation. He gives them an invitation to have a share in his own loving relationship with the Father. To have a share in that deep communion with our Heavenly Father. That he invites his disciples to call Almighty God their own Father. And it's possible he used the Aramaic word Abba. Abba, a word that expresses the loving and intimate bond of a child with his Father. And more than just kind of a, you know, childish or kind of age-specific meaning, like daddy, Abba is a term. I mean, still, you know, a Jewish boy would call his father Abba, and it expresses this kind of polite, respectful relationship, this meaning. In fact, I was just recalling. Back in seminary several years ago when I was on my 30-day pilgrimage to the Holy Land with my classmates, one day towards the end, we were on the beach in Tel Aviv. Yeah, it sounds as rough, I mean, as you might think. And I had told my classmates, and they knew, like, what, in addition to all the holy sites, the Holy Sepulchre, you know, going up to the area of Galilee where our Lord ministered, like one of the things I wanted during that 30-day pilgrimage was just to spontaneously hear a young Jewish boy cry out to his father, Abba. You know, to think about, like, that's how our Lord Jesus, like, to hear the same name that our Lord Jesus would have used and he's teaching us. And so that day on the beach, all of a sudden there was this young family near us, and the father was wrestling on the sand with like one of his young sons, and then all of a sudden I heard the young son cry out, Abba! And my classmates turned to me. Are you happy, Tyler? Yes. It was like, check, you know? But that just filled me with this sense of just the Father's love and closeness to hear that expression, Abba. So Jesus says, call him Abba. And so St. Paul says that we're able to do this because the Spirit of God has been poured into our hearts. When we've been buried with him, buried with Christ in baptism, as we heard in our second reading from St. Paul's letter to the Colossians. That is, God doesn't want to just dwell with us. He wants to dwell in us, and he invites us to actually receive him, the very life of the Holy Trinity, into our very being, that we can live in this intimate communion with him right here and now. And he invites us to actually receive him. So when St. Paul says, you've received a spirit of adoption, you've received a spirit of adoption, he's making a really powerful statement here. He's saying, you've received a spirit which can never, ever be taken away from you. That is, you're actually taught to call God Abba, Father, that you're invited into an intimate relationship with him. So one of the great gifts of the Holy Spirit is to bring us into a much deeper familiarity with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's why our Lord is so eager to give us his Holy Spirit, as we heard at the end of this gospel. And as I mentioned already, brothers and sisters, everything we do, you know, our choices, our how we live, how we devote our time, our relationships, everything needs to be done out of relationship with God. In order for it to be truly fruitful, everything we do as Christians needs to be done out of relationship with God in order for it to be truly fruitful. And the only way for it to be truly fruitful is to nourish it by prayer. There are no shortcuts. That the Lord has built this into the way that he saves us and he draws us to himself is that we need to be praying. It's the Holy Spirit that empowers us to call God, call our Father, Abba. The Spirit that empowers us to recognize the love Jesus has for us. And this is why Jesus tells us at the end of this gospel, if you then know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So Jesus knew we needed the Holy Spirit. That's why St. Paul says in his letter to the Galatians, since you are children of God, God has sent into your hearts the Spirit of his Son, the Spirit who cries out, Abba, Father. It's the Spirit who makes it possible for us to say, Abba, Father, to relate to the Father the way Jesus does. So Jesus tells his disciples to ask for the Holy Spirit. And after he's taught them, they are Father, of course, as we've come to know it. Right? They've asked him how to pray. Because more than just say words, Jesus wants them to share in his own relationship with his Father. See, prayer is about more than just saying words. Again, prayer is about entering into a communion with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's the invitation before us, brothers and sisters, that prayer is about more than us just saying words. You know, it doesn't matter if it's the rosary or some kind of devotion or it's our own mental prayer, our own conversation with God. Any of these forms of prayer, which we need to include, all of us, all of it, it's about more than just us just saying words. Prayer is the gift of a personal and intimate relationship with God. We need prayer. We need prayer. Many saints, including St. Teresa of Calcutta, you know, write about this, about our deep need for prayer, like prayer as being as necessary as the very air we breathe, as the blood that pours through our veins. You know, the disciples were certainly already very religious men who already prayed. And yet they noticed here something different about the way Jesus prayed. And they wanted that. It was different. It was attractive. They wanted that. They wanted to pray with that same intimacy and confidence they observed in him. And so when we pray, brothers and sisters, as I said, it's not just about getting things. It's about getting to know someone, about growing into an intimate relationship with him. And over time then, see, this changes how we pray. So if we don't feel like we pray well, guess what the solution to that is? Keep praying. Over time it changes. Because here's the thing, prayer doesn't change God. Prayer doesn't change God. Prayer changes us. Prayer changes us. We trust more. We have confidence. Because how can we love and obey someone we don't trust has a better plan for us? that we come to know as an intimate friend. St. Augustine writes about how through prayer, God is working on our desires. He's working on our desires just by our prayer, and he's actually increasing our capacity to receive what he already wants to give to us. And that's the point of prayer. And sometimes God responds not necessarily by giving us what we want or what we think we need, but with the difference our prayer actually makes instead. I heard a story a while back of a man who was praying for his buddies in the military. I think he had left service, but he was praying for his buddies who were in a particular unit. They were in a combat situation, and when one of the guys was killed, afterwards this man struggled with a lot of despair and just said to God, you know, if I'm going to pray like this, if I'm going to pray for these guys and then they're going to die anyway, what's the point? What's the point? And he said he heard Jesus say to him very clearly, if you hadn't been praying, 5 guys would have died in that mission. So the point is, we shouldn't think God doesn't hear our prayer, even if he doesn't answer it in the way that we would want or seem to answer it at all. Jesus is teaching us here about persevering in prayer. We hear this in the gospel, and we hear it in our first reading from Genesis as we see Abraham, you know, seems a little worried perhaps about annoying God with his relentless bargaining. But we see God is just as clearly eager to grab whatever is possible from Abraham. If Abraham will just persevere long enough to find out what it is, that he will always respond when we pray. Always. Always. And it's kind of cool, actually, the original Greek verb tense here, when we hear our Lord say, you know, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be open to you. The actual verb tense here is more like ask and ask and ask and ask and ask and seek and seek and seek and knock and knock and knock and knock. And the point is, if we persevere, it will make a difference. And that's what our Lord is telling us. Persevere. Keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. You know, what would have happened to a St. Augustine if Monica, St. Monica, his mother, after decades of praying for her son, had finally said, you know, he's never going to change this son of mine. I'm just wasting my prayer. I might as well pray for something else and stop praying. What would have happened to Augustine? I mean, do you know St. Augustine's story? You know, before his conversion, before becoming a saint and all, he was a bit of a wild child. Probably an understatement. Like, Augustine, it seemed, would go out of his way, actually, to do things just to irritate his mother. You know, for instance, after having a child out of wedlock, he named this child Adeodatus, which means given by God, as a way to kind of stick it to his mother a little bit more. And Monica could have said, well, that does it. I forget it. Right? I'm not going to pray for this boy anymore. And she didn't. She didn't. And now we have a St. Augustine, one of the greatest saints, theologians, and a doctor of the church. And you know, in our whole 2,000-year history. There was a wonderful story I heard a few years ago about a guy who was in the ER after having a kind of a near-death encounter, maybe some kind of cardiac arrest. And the doctors were working on him, and while his heart stopped, he was purported to have had this kind of vision of himself being suspended over the fires of hell, close enough so that his toes were practically in the flames. And the only thing that he said was keeping him out of the fire was this really thin thread. And he said, you know, what is that thread? And he was told that that thread is the prayers of your mother. The prayers of your mother. Well, what would have happened if that mother had said, forget it, this boy is never going to change? So mother's prayers are hugely important. A father's prayers are hugely important. And I just want to offer a special encouragement to all our fathers, especially fathers of young children. You have that spiritual authority as their father. You should be not only leading your family in prayer, but blessing your children. At night, it's good to bless them, to mark their foreheads with the sign of the cross, to demonstrate that fatherly authority. I can say personally as a priest, the The prayers and support of my parents, my family, and now my parish family are particularly important. And I know how much I've been sustained by them. We celebrated this past week on Tuesday the feast of St. Mary Magdalene. And Mary Magdalene is a beautiful example to us, again, of perseverance. That after finding the empty tomb, the other disciples having you know, returned home, bewildered and afraid, Mary Magdalene, on the other hand, returns. She comes back to the tomb, and her perseverance was rewarded, right? Because she encountered the risen Lord. She was the first. So Saints Joachim and Anne, too, the parents of our Blessed Lady, whose feast we celebrated yesterday. According to tradition, Joachim and Anne, who were childless for many years and awaited a child, and they prayed, they persevered in prayer and faith, and then they were blessed with Our Lady, who would become the Mother of God, who would give Him His human nature, that we simply need to trust Jesus. You know, we might ask ourselves sometimes, what is the point of prayer anyway? If God doesn't answer, you know, this way, or if it's taking too long, or He knows what He's going to do anyway, what's the point? And we need to remember, God has built into this the fabric of how He chooses to build His kingdom. That our prayer is hugely important in that. And we don't know entirely, we don't know why. It's still mysterious. But we do know our prayer does make a difference, that He tells us to pray. You know, somehow it does make a difference. And He wants to involve us. He wants to involve us. He wants us to ask Him for things. And He wants to involve His saints. That He works too through the intercession of the saints. That's why it was so providential that Kathleen sang the Litany of the Saints before this Mass. I didn't know she was going to do that. You know, maybe we've thought, you know, I believe in the saints, but gosh, they have better things to do. You know, like the quick, you know, request to St. Anthony, you know, help me find a parking spot or my lost keys or something. We might think, you know, that's silly, right? Like they have more important things to take care of. But you know, the saints are our friends, that God gives them to us as our friends, and they love to do good things for us. They love to do good things for us, and God wants us to get to know them, that He is glorified in His saints. So if we ask them, no matter how small, they will even do that. See, if we only ask God for the big things, but say, I'm not gonna bother with the small things, that's the wrong approach. Because how do we develop a friendship? How do you develop a human friendship? You know, you do it in one way by asking each other for small favors. Can you do this for me? Can you help me with this? Will you pray for me? And that's a sign of friendship. And the saints are honored by that. They want to bless God. And so God wants us to ask for small things, big things too. But small things that we should rely on Him more and more, and that He will show us that in that way He's hearing us and He's helping us and He's present. That's one of the reasons why, brothers and sisters, the evil one goes out of his way to get us to stop praying. To get us to stop praying and probably most often just leading us to despair, thinking, you know, this isn't making any difference. This isn't doing any good. I doubt He even cares. Because the evil one doesn't want to see the advancement of God's kingdom every time we persevere, every time we trust, every time we call on God. And so we need to keep praying. When we feel like He's far away, and parents, adult children who've maybe left the practice of the faith and for whom you're praying unceasingly, but maybe sometimes feeling like, is God ever going to hear my prayer? Keep praying. The lie that the evil one will try to tell you is that it's not making a difference. God doesn't care. He's not listening anyway. You know, when we feel like He's far away, that's precisely when the Lord is as close as ever. He's as close as ever and is already working. And we need to continue to trust Him and know of the greatness of His love for us and never quit. And know that if we know how to give good things to our children, how much more will our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to us when we ask? The Holy Spirit, which draws us into that intimate communion with himself, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, because he wants us to relate to his Father through the power of the Holy Spirit as he does, as beloved sons and daughters. So let us continue to ask and trust in him as he gives us all he has for us in the greatness of his love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.